Thank you.
Take it back.
Hey, no texting while you're driving.
I can't believe you gave money to take it back.
Good luck, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. I wanted to describe the scene of a family celebrating a holiday. And as I describe the scene, everyone can try to think to themselves which holiday I'm talking about. So it's getting cold outside, except here apparently it's really hot now. But normally it's getting really cold outside, and the family is all getting together, and they're going to have a festive meal together. They have some lights in the window. They're exchanging gifts with each other. They're singing their special holiday songs. And everyone's in a very cheerful mood. And it's, you know, a very festive atmosphere. So, of course, I'm talking about Hanukkah. But maybe some of you would have thought that I'm talking about Christmas. Because it seems that there's a lot of similarities between Hanukkah and Christmas. It's kind of funny that if you think about it, they're really not very different at all. But as from Jews, as Jews in general, we have something more to our Hanukkah than just what I described, and then it's really totally different ballgame than any other holiday. It's Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is very special and Hanukkah is very meaningful. So I wanna see if I can explain a little bit about the meaning and depth of Hanukkah so that it can be more than just a party and it could be something real and something meaningful. You know, especially we know all the Jewish holidays have special opportunities for growth built into each and every one of them. Hanukkah is the same. So we have to think about what's the opportunity that Hanukkah presents to us. So I want to ask a couple questions about Hanukkah, and then through answering them, maybe we can get to the bottom of Hanukkah. So the first question is, why do we light the menorah? So we all know that we light the menorah because of the miracle with the oil. It lasted for 8 days. It was only enough for one day. But if you think about the whole story of Hanukkah, it's pretty insignificant, the miracle of the oil. The fact that they won this war is much more important, or a much bigger deal than the fact that the menorah was lasting for 8 days. So the mitzvah that we do to celebrate Hanukkah should be a mitzvah that commemorates the winning of the war. Why is the mitzvah commemorating the miracle of the oil? Another question is the Makamim, the Chashmonaim, why did they bother searching out oil? So why did they push so much to find oil? There was a halachic way that they could have lit the menorah anyway. There's a rule, Tum Mahutra B'tzibur, if everyone's tameh, there's a way around it. And they could have lit the menorah anyway, but they pushed themselves to find some pure oil. And then even more so, once they found it, so they would have lit it, would have lasted one day, and then the next day they would have used that halachic loophole to be able to light the menorah anyway. And then Hashem goes and does this miracle for them. But if there was a way out, then why was it necessary, first of all, to look for the oil, and second of all, to have a miracle that it should last 8 days? It wasn't necessary. Another question is that many times in Jewish history, there have been nations that have tried to destroy us in different ways. So what's special about Hanukkah that the holiday of Hanukkah is still around today? And lastly, if you read up on the history surrounding the time period before Hanukkah and after Hanukkah, it doesn't seem like it was such a big deal that we won that war. The whole time period of the Second Temple seemed to be under the rule of the Greeks, some of it under the Persians, some of it under the Romans, but there wasn't much time during the Second Temple that we weren't under the non-Jewish governments. So even though we won then and we got back to being on our own for a little bit and we were able to serve Hashem better than we were before, it really wasn't like this awesome super victory that now, like, we're on our own. We have Israel back. Like, it was kind of a weak victory. So why is there what to celebrate at all? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that there's an idea that when Hashem loves someone dearly, he wants to show them that. So he does unimportant or small or insignificant miracle for them to demonstrate his love for them. He gives a few examples. There was a point in time when Hashem wanted to show Avraham the whole of Israel to show that he was gonna inherit it. All his descendants were gonna inherit Israel. So he said, "You're gonna get from the." He's standing in the middle of Israel. He says, "You're gonna get from north to south, east to west." So the Medrash says that Avraham stood in one spot and he saw all around him miraculously. So Rav Chaim Shlomowitz explains that was not necessary. Avraham could have, spun in a circle. It wasn't such a big deal. But Hashem loved him so much and wanted to show him how much he loved him that he did this miracle for him. Another example is David HaMelech, when he killed Goliath, he threw a rock and he hit him in the forehead and it killed him. So if you throw a rock at someone and it kills them, they should fall backwards, if you think about it. But Hashem miraculously made him fall forward because he was super tall, and Hashem didn't want David to have to go through the trouble when he cut off Goliath's head, to have to walk that whole distance to cut off his head. So Hashem made a miracle for him that he fell forward so he wouldn't have to go through the trouble. Which, again, David HaMelech could have walked the couple minutes it would have taken to get there. But he loved him so much that he wanted to do this miracle for him. And lastly, the other example he gives is from last week's Parsha, Yosef, when he was sold down to Mitzrayim, Hashem miraculously made it a caravan of sweet-smelling spices. Apparently, that wasn't the normal at the time, but Hashem miraculously made it that such a caravan would come his way so that it shouldn't be a disgusting smell for him on his trip into slavery. He wanted it to smell nice for him. So, Rav Chaim Shlomowitz explains that the nace of the candles by Hanukkah is the same thing. Hashem loved Klal Yisrael so much and wanted to show Klal Yisrael how much he loved them, he calls it a kiss. Hashem was giving the Jewish people a kiss, saying, "I love you, so I'm going to do this miracle," which we said wasn't necessary. They could have lit the menorah anyway with a halachic loophole. But Hashem said, "I love you so much, I want to give you a kiss, I want to do this miracle for you." But what needs to be explained further is what was going on then, all of a sudden, that this was the time that Hashem wanted to demonstrate his love with this kiss to the Jewish people. So I think the idea is that the Chashbonaim, we explained, didn't need to do this, but they really, really loved Hashem. And they wanted to go above and beyond what was halakhically required of them, and they wanted to be moser nefesh and push themselves to find the pure oil to do it in the best way possible anyway. And Hashem reciprocated the love that they showed towards him by doing this miracle for them. And I think it goes even one step further, because we explained that the Hanukkah story happened at a pretty lousy time in the history of Klal Yisrael to a certain extent. It wasn't like the first temple where we were really on our own. We had the temple, but really we were under the non-Jewish people, so it wasn't that great. And Hashem wanted to teach us that when we go above and beyond for him, so then he goes above and beyond for us. Specifically, in a not such a great situation, when we're not in the best of times, if we go further than we need to go, then Hashem will go further than he needs to go for us. And I think the lesson for us is that in our serving of Hashem on a daily basis, so there's the stuff we have to do. We have to learn, we have to daven, we have to do chesed. But we could find some areas in our life, or one area in our life, where we can push ourselves to go further than is required from us. And by doing that, we're going to show Hashem how much we love him. And if we do that, and we show Hashem how much we love him, then Hashem will reciprocate and show us how much he loves us. So, to demonstrate that, I wanted to close with a story. Rabbi Rubinovich prints out this Dvar Torah sheet every week, so he showed me this week's today, and there was a fascinating story which really brings this point to home. So, Rav Chaim Stein was the Rosh Yeshiva in Telz in Cleveland, but he was originally in the Yeshiva Telz in Europe. And he started that yeshiva in memory of the yeshiva that was lost in Europe. When it came time for the time of the Second World War, so everyone was trying to get out of Eastern Europe. So Reb Chaim Stein and a group of Bachrim, of boys from that yeshiva, were escaping into Russia. So they got on a train. Apparently, this train was a pretty lousy ride, and not all of the guys made it all the way. It was really hard for them. You know, at every train station along the way, they were burying a friend. And then it came Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah. And one of the boys turns to one of the other boys and said, oh, tonight's Hanukkah, what are we going to do? And they said, what are we going to do? We're on a train, you know, we're dying. Like, Hanukkah's not going to happen. He said, no, let's do Hanukkah. So they had this idea. At the next train station, they were going to get out and they were going to collect some of the grease from the wheels of the train. And they were going to take some threads from their clothes. And they had a glass cup and they had matches. And they were going to light a Hanukkah candle. So they did that. And they lit Hanukkah candles. And they did that every day. They got out in the freezing cold in Russia and they collected some grease from the train. And they lit the candle every day. Comes the eighth day of Hanukkah. And it's so cold that the grease is frozen and they can't get any grease. So they get back on the train. There's nothing they can do. The train goes and they have no way to light candles. And they're very broken that, you know, for 7 days we're able to do it, and now the eighth day we can't do it. But what are you going to do? There's nothing they can do about it. So then comes nighttime. They don't light the candles. Most of the boys go to sleep. And Reb Chaim Stein and a friend say, you know what? We can't light the candles, but we can learn. We can learn about Hanukkah, and learning about Hanukkah will take the place of the candles. So that's what they did. And apparently they stayed up all night learning about Hanukkah, that should be their Hanukkah candles. It's like almost daylight, and some guy comes barging into their train car. Apparently he was a farmer, they thought. He was wearing a straw hat, and he looked crazy. They thought he was going to kill them. And he starts looking around the cabin, and he sees that guy sleeping, and then he comes to the two of them, says, oh, you two are awake, and he picks up his fist, and then they're like, okay, now we're done. And he opens his fist, and he's holding a candle. He's like, you guys need a candle, right? And they're like, they're speechless. And he shoves the candle in their hand, and he walks out. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's almost daylight. They quickly light the candle, make the bracha, and they had their eighth night of Hanukkah. So then they go searching on the train. They can't find him. So the guy who writes this to our Torah didn't believe the story, which I didn't either. I'm sure a lot of you are like, okay, fine, yeah. So he sent someone to Reb Chaim Stein to ask him if the story is true. So Reb Chaim Stein verified all the details of the story. And then the guy says to him, so was it Eliyahu Hanavi? So Reb Chaim Stein, who was at the time in his 90s, says to him, I'm in my 90s, and I still haven't merited to know what it's like to meet Eliyahu Hanavi. But one thing I do know, when we go above and beyond to do everything we can to do a mitzvah, Hashem will reciprocate and He will give us back everything that we need. Happy Hanukkah. There we go. I don't know.